It's a schosset and honor to be here today. As I say every week, one of the highlights of my week is to be with you and to talk Divrei Torah. And as we all know, still, the Parshas in Eretz Yisrael and in America are still different. And we're going to do like we always do. We're going to ask a couple of questions. And then we are going to walk out with that major yesod to bring into our lives. We know in America, it's Parshas Balak. And in Eretz Yisrael, it's Parshas Pinchas. And we're going to see, again, we've been using both of them and asking questions and try to bring, build out that big yesod to come out from both of these parshas. The Torah tells us in Perichov Beis, Pasuk Beis, in the beginning of Parshas Balak, Vayar Balak ben Sipor, Eiz Kol Asher Aso Yisrael Emori. Balak saw everything that Klal Yisrael did to the Emori. Then the next pasuk says, "Vayigar Moav mipnei ha'am." The Moavites were very scared of this nation, ki ravhu, because they were great. And then the next pasuk says, "Vayomer Moav el ziknei Midyan." Moav and Midyan got together. Ato yalchuchu hakahal es kol sivilaseinu. Let's all get together, and we're going to chew up this entire nation. Kolchocha hashur. And then the end of the pasuk says, "Ubolak ben Sipor melech leMoab beEsahi." Balak is the son of Sipor, was the king of Moab. And the first question that one has to ask is, we just said two psukim before that Balak ben Sipor was the king. Why are you reiterating it that Balak was the king and Balak saw all these things? What exactly did he see? What was the issue here? 1B, again, we have a lot of questions, a lot of different things, a lot of stuff going on in Balak and Pinchas, and obviously I always try to get a lot in into one shear. Sometimes I go a little too long, I get a little too long, tell me, don't really tell me, but tell me. But we know that we spoke a little last week, we spoke about the eyes, and we're going to speak more in different Nikuda about it, about the seeing. We spoke about the difference in Mishnah Perek Hey, that there's a difference between the Bilam and Abraham. We said that's a crazy comparison. What kind of comparison? And we said that the whole difference is that Bilam also was a good person, but he wasn't a good person. He had the potential to be amazing, but what did he do? He forgot about his shiflus ha'odom. That's what the Mishnah is saying. And Avraham lived with shiflus. He lived with humility. That was the big yesod. And we'll talk more about anger and how it affects us and how we can work on it. But it's very interesting because the pasuk tells us when Bilam is in the middle of cursing Klal Yisrael, not cursing, actually giving blessings, right? He tried to curse Klal Yisrael, but Hashem flipped it into blessings. And it says in the pasuk, it says in Perichov Dalid, pasuk Gimel, it says, "Vayisa Mishlo Vayomer Neum Bilam Uneum Hagever Shesum HaAyin," and Bilam had Shesum HaAyin, pierced eye. From the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Kufhei Amid Aleph, that there's a machlokus. Did he only have one eye, or was he blind in one eye? Again, there's a big focus. Vayar Balak, Balak saw something. There's a big focus in this scene, and we have to figure out what it is. Question two. We know that on Sunday, hopefully not, but on Sunday we're having Shavuos B'Tamuz. It's a nidche, it's pushed off. Really, it's supposed to be a little earlier, and it's pushed off. And we know that the Mishnah tells us in Tainis, Paradal Mishnah Vav, that a lot of things happened on Shavuos B'Tamuz, and a lot of things happened on Tisha B'Av. The Gemara says five things happened on Shavuos B'Tamuz. I want to focus on one of them, because one of them was Nishvaru HaLuchos, that the Luchos were destroyed. Why were the Luchos destroyed? As we all know, because of Cheta Ego. And the question is, how is it possible? And we spoke about this before, a little different Nekuda. Maybe I said this Nekuda also, I don't remember. But what was the sin of Cheta Ego? What was the sin of Cheta Ego? What was it all about? How is it possible? They got the Torah, things were amazing, and all of a sudden they're sitting with the golden calf. What's that all about? And that represents the idea of Shavuos B'Tamuz, because it happened on Shavuos B'Tamuz. Question two. Question three. We know at the end of Parshas Balak, I love when Hashem just throws his Yad Tishmai at us, because at the end of Balak is really the story of Pinchas. So even though we never ever read Balak Pinchas, it like doesn't go together, even though, right, Balak Pinchas, because Balak in America, Pinchas in Eretz Yisrael. But the end of the Parsha of Balak is the story of Pinchas. And then all of a sudden, the beginning of Pinchas, we are told, again, the name of Pinchas. In Perichov Hei, Pasuk Yud, Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe le'mor, Pinchas ben Elozar ben Aaron HaKohen. Whole lineage, why are you telling us the whole lineage? And furthermore, it says that what was his, Pinchas got the Bris Shalom. I think we can have a whole share on this. I think Gemara and Sanhedrin, I think Daf Pei Aleph, Pei Beis. And what was his reward, Bris Shalom? He killed someone. He was a zealot. What was Bris Shalom? And lastly, again, there's a lot to do. There's always a lot to do. And I know everyone's just waiting. Okay, we got to throw in some stories. Right, I just gave a shiur to NC Michael, and I said, listen, the only thing you're going to remember is the story. The only thing. Obviously, you remember the Torah, I hope. Maybe. Probably not. There's actually some guys taking notes. I thought it was a little strange. But Baruch Hashem, serious masmidim, shtagging away, NC Michael. And a guy raised his hand. A guy raised his hand about the story. I'm like, no question in the story. But I said, the only thing, and you know, the guy came over, he's like, yeah, Rob, I love that story. It's like, what are you doing? You love the pshat? Okay, you love the pshat. Obviously, maybe you just want to make me feel good about the story. Okay, whatever. But we're also introduced, there's a lot of things going on in Pinchas. And again, really, all these shirim should just be Balak, should be Pinchas. But again, we want to make everyone happy. We have some listeners in America, some listeners in Israel. You guys here. So, we have the story of Bino Slavchad. Very interesting story of Bino Slavchad. That the daughters of Bino Slavchad, they said, listen, it's not fair. It's not fair that we're not going to get a Yerusha. We want a Yerusha, and they fought for that Yerusha. Chazal tell us that where did Bino Slavchad get this love of Eretz Yisrael? Where did they get this love that they wanted so badly? And even though they're girls, we love girls. That even though they're girls, Baruch Hashem, I have a boy also, but we love girls. That even though they're girls, they deserve a Nachla. So where did they get that from? Says the Medrash, they learned it from Yosef HaTzadik, that just like God had a land, so too Yosef had a love for the land. And the obvious question that a lot of people are asking, listen, I know Yosef was told everyone that his bones need to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. That shows that he had a love for the land. He left. He was the guy, right? We say, Yisimcha Elokim Kefrayim Kamanasha, his sons. We're in Egypt. We're in Mitzrayim. Yosef was the guy. If you would tell me, we spoke about Yosef before, that Yosef was the guy that was in Chutzlars and he made it and he fought. But you're going to tell me he's the lover of Eretz Yisrael? He never lived in Eretz Yisrael. He lived in Eretz Yisrael in the beginning and it didn't work out for him with the brothers. So why is the Bnei Slavchad learning out the love of Eretz Yisrael from Yosef and Tzadik? There's so many other personalities. That is question four. Okay, I have another question. I'm not going to do five because then everyone's going to go crazy. Maybe I'll put it in the middle of the shiur. I do that sometimes. I don't know if anyone realizes it. And sometimes in the middle of the shiur, I give another question, but I don't give him the intro because I get him in the intro. So then you hear four. I actually went when I gave a shiur, I said 3A and 3B. And then the guy raised his hand and he's like, this has nothing to do with the lesson. And I'm like, I know. Good gotcha. Okay, whatever. So I do that sometimes also, whatever. So now, let's just review again, because we got to have clarity in our Torah. It's all about the clarity in the Torah. Question one, we can do it quickly. Sometimes when I just review it really fast in like 30 seconds, I'm like, whoa, that took 30 seconds. Why is it taking like 9-10 minutes? And some of you listeners are thinking that right now, I'm sorry. But we got to have it clear. When you have it clear, then you can say it fast over. That's what Chazar is, right? So now, question was, Vayar Balak, what was this idea of Balak seeing? What did Balak see? We spoke a lot about Bilam. What did Balak see? Also, Shitzum HaAyin, that Bilam's eye was Shitzum HaAyin. He had a pierced eye. What's that all about? What's Chazal saying about that? Question two, Shivasar B'Tammuz, make a connection to everyone. Shivasar B'Tammuz, that the Luchos were broken. What's that about? What's the Chet HaEgel? Question three, what's Pinchas about? Pinchas Pinchas, we give an idea. We tell Pinchas again, Ben Elozer, Ben Oren, not Cohen. What's that about? And the last question is, how did the Bnos Slavchod learn from Yosef HaTzadik? Doesn't make so much sense. So I'm going to tell you over a major yisod. And I think if we could bring this yisod. So if we get this yisod down, we're going to answer all these questions. Comes along the great Rav Chaim Shmulevitz. Rav Chaim Shmulevitz lived in 1902 to 1979. Rav Chaim Shmulevitz was the Mir Rosh Hashiva. We know that during the war, Mir was able to hold stories about how they moved to Shanghai and there were such miracles that took place. There's books and books about it. And the great Rav Chaim came to Eretz Yisrael and he was the Rosh Hashiva, the Mir Yeshiva, which I think there are between 7,000 and 9,000 people learning in Mir Yeshiva. Lakewood and Mir Yeshiva are the two biggest yeshivas in the world. And whoever comes to Eretz Yisrael, they should just, if they've never seen it before, some people have been zeicha, I was zeicha, to learn in Mir Yeshiva for a couple of years, just to walk in and you see the Makom Torah. It's unbelievable. See, people really fight. Every year, when I taught in Or Yerushalayim, and I teach in Vassera now, every year we take the boys for a two-day trip to the Mir Yeshiva. And just to get a seat there is just crazy. Because there's so many people learning the Shem's Torah, Baruch Hashem. And again, I can tell stories. Everyone loves stories. But the only thing you remember is these stories. Again, whenever I say that, the only people think people are going to remember the stories, we remember stories, L'maisa. Okay, we got to remember the Torah also, obviously. But they tell crazy stories of Rav Chaim Shmulevitz. He was a very Leibedik guy. He was, you know, some Rosh Hashivas out there, some Gedolim are very quiet, very to themselves. A Rav Steinman, a Rav Eliyoshev Zatzal, the greatest leaders, very to themselves. They could sit and learn for 10 hours straight without moving a second. And there are other Rosh Hashivas that had a lot of personality. They say, again, I'm just going on with stories, but Rav Eliyoshev's wife, the Rebbesin, who was the daughter of the Tzaddik of Yerushalayim, Rav Aryeh Levine, and she was very Leibedik. She used to play drums, and when she started going out with Rav Eliyashiv, she said, you know, this guy is a quiet guy, he doesn't talk. And she turned to her father and said, you know, Tati, go to Rav Aryeh. She tried to say that, it's a little weird, you can't call your father by his first name, but like, what's the deal? He told her, listen, just stay with this one. This one, he's a big masman. He'll be okay. You know, he became the Gadol Ador, Posek Ador. Okay, Baruch Hashem. But Rav Chaim Shmulevitz also, he had so much energy. They used to say that when he was, so some people, they sit and they learn and they write it out or they just have cheshvin in their head. With Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, he used to like act it out. He used to be like, Abaye, take this. Oka, oka. He would really get into it. Unbelievable. Halavai, we should learn like that. Right? He would bring fire into his learning. And he had chavrusas with everyone in the mirror. He was Rosh Hashiva then, I was really connected. And every week, he gave something called Sichus Musar. And Sichus Musar was Chazals. He was a Bucky in Tanakh and Gemara and Ushas. Knew everything. And he took different Chazals. We're doing, obviously, it's not Sichus Musar, but taking different Chazals and coming out with that major Yisod. I was Zeicha and I had a Chavruso. Every Thursday night, we went through Sichus Musar when I was learning in Shalavim. And actually, they turned this Sefer into English. You could find it in English. Rav Chaim, I think it's called Rav Chaim's Discourses. Nice fancy word for his schmoozes. And unbelievable stuff going on. So Rav Chaim Shmulevitz develops an amazing yisod. And I think this yisod is going to answer up all the kashas. And we've spoken about this before, but it's a major yisod with Chet HaEgel. The yisod's like this. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't come down. And Moshe Rabbeinu didn't come down, and all of a sudden, Klal Yisrael was like, what would he do? What do we do? What do we do? And they started getting nervous, and they said, oh, and they jumped to conclusions right away. They acted on their impulses, and they just said, oh, we need the Chet HaEgel. We need an Egel. And Aaron, whatever his involvement, he tried stopping him, but he thought maybe he's going to get killed. A whole separate discussion on that, what his punishment was, what was going on there. But Aaron, they decided to do the Chet HaEgel because they acted on their impulses. The only people that didn't act on their impulses were the women. The women said, no, I'm not giving you my jewelry, I'm not getting involved in this. So what's the difference? So Rav Chaim Shmulevitz says, is that when a person's able to see the big picture, and the person's able to not just look what it appears to be, then you're able to control yourself. And it's very hard. Especially for men. Usually men, here I'm throwing myself under the bus, I'm a man. Right? I'm not here to classify everyone, or any man listening to this year is like, oh, you call me out, right? I'm not here to call anyone out. But a lot of times, men act on their impulses. We don't like a certain thing, or someone doesn't treat us nicely, or whatever the reason is. They go right away. They bang it out. So, but a woman is more looking future. She's just not focused. She's like, listen, you're going to do this chet. You're doing something really bad. So says Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, you know what the problem of the chet ha'ego was? Is that we just jumped. We jumped to conclusions. We jumped. We didn't think things out. You know, this idea is crucial to our whole life. We know the mission tells us in the first parak of Pirkei Avos, v'havidon ekol adam l'kaf schus. So many times we have situations that appear to be one way, and then if we act on it, then it will be that way, but you let it play it out. And then you see that it's not. You know how many times I couldn't get through that person, you know, because we think of all these different things in our mind, what it means. And we think, oh, because our mind works crazy fast, and sometimes we learn things wrong, even though we don't think we do. And we create all these crazy situations in our mind. And sometimes, you know, you can't get through the person. The person's not going to a different deal. They're somewhere else. You know how many times that's happened? People, they try texting someone and they didn't answer, and all of a sudden they change the deal. But if you just wait things out, that's this yisod. The yisod of chet ha'egel was that they just acted on their impulses. And I think that this is what's going on with Balak. Vayar Balak saw. Balak saw that he saw the Sichon and Og, who had Rashi brings in the first pasuk Beis, Parakhov Beis. He says they were very betuchim, they had a lot of confidence, and still Klal Yisrael stood up against them. And all of a sudden, Balak created in his mind that we got to destroy the Jews; they're out to get us. But he doesn't know that when the Jews were traveling, they just didn't want to fight with Sichon. Sichon just didn't let them go through. And because of that, Klal Yisrael had to fight. Balak, vayar Balak. You know what Balak's downfall was? Balak's downfall was that he had head. And he just saw it. And he didn't think it through. And he just let his emotions take over. And he couldn't. He got so involved in the moment. And he said, we got to get Klal Yisrael. We got to knock them down. And that was the problem, the same problem with the Chet HaEgel. What's the Shesuma Ayin? What's with the eye? Bilam, what's with the eye? Because Bilam had the one eye. As we spoke about last week, he didn't bring Hashem into his life. But not only that, he was limited. He didn't look. He didn't look to the big picture. He just saw in his limited peripheral vision that there's nothing in front. Then he kept on trying to curse them, and all the curses turned into brachas. And he didn't stop. He didn't stop. And all of a sudden, a donkey talks to him. A donkey. We spoke a little about it last week. And there were Rabbeinu Bachai. And still, he didn't realize that maybe there's something unique, there's something special about this nation. That was the downfall. That was the downfall of a Bilam and a Balak. You know, I was speaking it over with one of my shears, and I got an email from my uncle, Gedalia Bamzer. Again, whenever I get emails, I love Ha'aras, everyone who ever sends Ha'ara, and my uncle always does, Baruch Hashem. And he asked me an interesting question based on what I was saying last week. He said, I don't get it. You know, Moshe Rabbeinu was, you know, the greatest leader, but he was a person. He wasn't Hashem. He had emotions. So according to that Rambam and Mor Nevuchim, that he hit the rock and he was angry. We all get angry. So why would he get punished? So again, we don't always understand anything. And he said also Zos Chukas HaTorah and Hashem, for whatever the reason, the Rachonim discussed why Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't Zaycha to go into Eretz Yisrael. It wasn't for him. Whatever the reason is. But I saw this question and I saw the Ibn Ezra. And the Ibn Ezra says that really, what was another problem? That it says, Shimunah HaMorim. That he turned to Klal Yisrael and he said, listen, you rebellious ones. And the Shemu Shmuel, the great Shemu Shmuel, takes this in Ezra, and he says, you know what the problem is? That really Moshe Rabbeinu, really Hashem told Moshe, kach et ha-mate, take the mate v'akel et ha-eita, and gather a community. And Moshe Rabbeinu got angry. Why did he get angry? And he rebuked the Jews. Again, we're not here to live chas v'shalom. Moshe Rabbeinu was the greatest leader, but he got angry. And since he got angry, he lost himself. And he forgot this idea of all of Klal Yisrael together. Similar to this idea also, is that you can't just, Moshe Rabbeinu, again, he lost it. This is the nation, Hashem done everything for us. And all of a sudden we start complaining, and we start doing all these things. But Moshe Rabbeinu should have, again, it's difficult to understand. Right? The Gemara says in Bava Kamma, I think Daf Nun, that the Sadiqim are judged, B'chut Asara, they're judged for even their small little problems, again. Hopefully we're not, because we got big problems. Me, not anyone else, but big problem. Right? So, but they're judged. And Moshe Rabbeinu says to Shemu Shmuel that Moshe Rabbeinu was supposed to show Klal Yisrael that they have to have unity. Together. They have to all be one. And he lost it a little. And he got caught up. Again, he's a human being. But he got caught up. And that was the whole idea. Because the whole idea of Klal Yisrael is V'hi Bishurin Melech B'sase Rosh Hayom in Devarim. Right? Perek La Megimel Pusik Hey. That we have Achdus. So again, this idea that we can't live just in the moment. We have to look bigger than that. We can't just act in the moment. It's very interesting that in the beginning of Pinchas, Rashi brings down from the Gemara in Bava Basra, the Gemara says that, you know, the Shvatim were saying that he was Ben Puti and he did Avodah Zarah and he did bad things and he acted on his impulses. But the Torah goes out of its way and says, no, even though Pinchas, maybe it appears to us that maybe Pinchas also was acting this way. He's just acting out of impulses. Says the great Meshech Chochma, that you know why the Torah reiterates Ben Elazar, Ben Aaron HaKohen. Because Elazar represents the prince of Shevet Levi. And Elazar is the idea of avenging Hashem. He realized that this is not right. Although it might appear that it looks like in the moment, it's not in the moment. Pinchas made cheshbon and he said, Klal Yisrael needs it. And you know where he learned this from? His grandfather, Ben Oev Shalom, Verode Shalom, he realized. And you might think, oh, he's going and he's acting as a zealot. That's not shalom. That's not peace. That's the opposite. No, says the Meshech Chochma, he was acting to save Yisrael. He was trying to save Klal Yisrael. And the Meshech Chochma, the great Rameir Medvinsk, the unbelievable Rameir Medvinsk says, that's shot in Pasuk, that in Pasuk Yud Gimel, V'hayisolo Luzar Achorov, that his generations are going to continue. Bris Kunas Eilam, Kahuna, Takas Asher Kino Lelokov. He was taking vengeance for Hashem. He was taking vengeance for Hashem. That was represented, says Meshech Chochma, as a Lozar. So that's why, you know, the other nation, the other Shvatim said, you know what, you're acting on your impulses, Pinchas. What are you doing? And the Torah goes out of its way and says, no, he gets Brisi Shalom. That he really thought this out. He needed to save Klal Yisrael. So again, we're not a Pinchas. He got instructions. He realized, he learned up the sugya. We're not a Pinchas. But we see a major idea here, is that we can't act on our impulses. Sometimes we need to take a step back and look at the bigger picture. And sometimes we're not always going to see the bigger picture. Right? That's the idea of shiftless, realizing Hashem's in charge. That we're not always going to see the bigger picture. And I think with this answer, we can answer up in Oslofkot. I heard, you know, I quote him a lot. I enjoy his shiur, Arya Leibowitz. And he said, this is a pshat in Bino Oslofkot. Listen to the Gevaldik pshat. We know the Gemara says in different Gemaras, the Gemara says that the best time for Shaduchim is two times, Tu B'Av and Yom Kippur. And the Gemara, I think it's in the second paragraph of Basra, says Tu B'Av and Yom Kippur, the best days for Shaduchim? Come on! Yom Kippur, I understand everyone's dressed up nicely and everyone's, you know, yontif. But what's the whole idea of Tu B'Av? So there's a gevaldik. We know that the Torah tells us, you know, the parsha of Shiduchim, they talk a lot. And also the parsha of Chayei Sarah, when Sarah was being buried and Elazar went to go find a wife for Yitzchak Avinu. So we know that when he found Rivka, the Torah tells us in Bereishis, in Pasuk Chaf Beis, Vayi kasher kilo hagmalim lishtot, Vayi kacha ish nezem zohov. So this ish, right, the Torah does not refer to Elazar by name, that this ish, Elazar, the Eved of Avraham, brought Rivka the nezem zohov, these golden rings. Says why, and what was it? Beka mishkala, it was a measurement beka. Says Rashi, what is beka? Beka remez l'shkola Yisrael, similar to a shekel. Beka galgolis. Ushne smidin. Yeah, what is the bracelets? Remez l'shne luchos. It's a remez to the two luchos. So he said a beautiful idea. And we're going to answer up in El Slavchon. That Elazar brought to Rivka these things. What is Rashi alluding to? The Shnei Luchos. When was the Luchos, when was the second Luchos brought back to us? On Yom Kippur. After what? The Chet HaEgel. Chet HaEgel happened, and then Moshe Rabbeinu went back up, and he got the Luchos. And that, right, the Chet HaEgel, the Nishbara Luchos, with Yizayim and Thomas, and then Moshe Rabbeinu went back up, and he got it Yom Kippur. And what's Tu B'Av? Tu B'Av is a time that everyone that was supposed to, everyone died out. The Pasuk says in Parshas Pinchas, Kabbalah Pasuk, you gotta always get the exact Pesukim, have the Torah, Baruch Hashem, the Torah in front of us. The Torah tells us in Perek Vav, Pasuk Samachay in Pinchas, Ki Amar Hashem Lahem Mos Yamusu B'Mibar, V'lo Nosar Mehem Ish. No one is going to remain, no man, ki im Kalev ben Yefuna ve Yeshua ben Nun. We know Kalev and Yeshua fought against the spies, and they said, but the Pasuk goes out and says, Ish, says the Medrash, why are you no Sarmayim Ish, that there's not going to be one man? What is man? Says the Medrash, men and not women. You know why? Because even by Chet HaMeraglim, the women went in. The women went into Eretz Yisrael, because the women weren't part of Chet HaMeraglim. Again, we see it. Comes along the great Alshech. And the Alshech, who was one of the great Talmidim of Yosef Cairo, right? Moshe Alshech, who lived in 1508 to 1593. Again, you have to know when they lived, because you have to know what we're talking about. We got Achron, Arishon, when did they live? He says a Kabbalistic thing. This thing! What was the shekel? We know that we gave a Machzika shekel, half a shekel. Why only half? Why only half for the Chet HaEgel? The shekel was a kapara, was an atonement for Chet HaEgel. Why only half? Says the Alshech, because the women weren't involved in the Chet HaEgel. So you know why these 2 days? Yom Kippur, because Yom Kippur represents the breaking of the Luchos. And the women weren't involved in the Chet HaEgel. And you know what else? The women weren't involved in the Chet HaMeraglim. What's the whole idea? What's the whole idea is that women, giving a shout out to the women, what's up? Right, all those great women. Ah, all those great women. I have a lot of women in my life. Baruch Hashem, I have a lot of sisters and a mother and a wife and a lot of girls and a mother-in-law. We can throw everyone in, right? Sister-in-laws, yeah. All the whites. Okay, throw it all in, right? We have a lot of women in our lives. And the women, because women are able to look to the future. B'no Slavchad. What's so great about B'no Slavchad? Is that they were able to look to the future. They said, I want a Nachla in Eretz Yisrael. Even though there are no boys, I want that Nachla. Where did they learn it from? Yosef HaTzadik. Yosef never lived in Israel. His balls were in Israel. So now, beautiful, listen to this. Even though Yosef didn't live in Israel, he said his bones need to be in Israel. You know why? Because Yosef said, listen, I'm going to look future. We don't just live in now. We're going to have Tchias HaMeisim. We're going to, you know, Hashem's going to bring Mashiach, and we're going to have Tchias HaMeisim. And I want to be. That's why, again, a lot of people get buried in Israel. Again, some people can't get buried in Israel, whatever the reasons are, right? Some people are just family in America. Whatever the reasons are, But some people are very specific to get married, to get buried in Eretz Yisrael after Meir Be'esrim. Because we're not just our goof. We're our neshamas. And we're going to have a tfias amesim. So Yosef learned this mido also, even though he's a man. But Yosef knew this mido, that I'm not just looking for the present, I'm looking to the future. And we see it all the time with Yosef. He has a dream and his brothers hate him. And they're like, stop with your dreams. And he's like, yeah, my dreams are going to give you another dream. And guess what? Says the Ramban, his dreams were Mekayim. He never stopped. He kept on going. Because he didn't get caught up in the moment. And again, this is the major midah that we need to build upon ourselves. A lot of times we have situations that come in front of us. And it seems that we were wronged. And we could have been wrong. But we need to take a step back and not just live in the moment. Look to the future. Think what could happen if you act on upon it right now. A person always needs to be down the kafskus. Imagine if Klal Yisrael just waited. And they said, Moshe Rabbeinu, where is he? And they said they had patience. And they said, okay, he's going to come down. Imagine all of history would have changed. We need to work on this midah. Again, a Pinchas is an exception to the rule. Right? Pinchas gets a little confusing because he acted. But no, that's what we're trying to say. A Pinchas, Heshiv Eschamasi. Pinchas, with the Baruch Hu, was doing it always Shalom and Rodev Shalom. Pinchas had to save Klal Yisrael. He wasn't acting on impulses. Although it looked like he was acting on impulses, he wasn't. That's why the nation said, you're doing Avodah Zarah, you're getting angry, that he wasn't. He was saving Klal Yisrael. But all the other stories, with this Yisod from the great Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, that we can't just act when things appear, because we have very limited, we have a very limited scope of how, again, we all think we know everything and we have pshatim. I'm taking a class now, you know, where it's a 50 mechanchim. We're dealing, talking about the generation, how to deal with therapy, and how, again, not a therapist, but like how to deal with people's problems and how to listen. It's hard stuff. And he said one of the biggest issues is that a Rebbe sees a Talmud and then he has a cook on it. And he just goes with that cook. And he says, this is the problem. First of all, he doesn't know. We don't know anything. He said he's a major therapist, the person giving it, Rabbi Levine, Rabbi Dr. Levine. He's one of the major people, one of the major people in Eretz Yisrael. And he said that we don't know anything. We don't know, we think we know people. Sometimes we don't even know ourselves. There's so many elements of a person. There's so many things. There's relationships and there's personalities and there's the way a person's treated and the way a person treats himself. We don't know anything about anyone. And although we might think we do, we don't. And the more a person works on this midah, he'll be a happier person. Because although, again, I say this all the time, I'm not giving permission for anyone to be mean, but we don't always know. Sometimes when people are mean, it's because they're hurting themselves. So we need to learn. We're coming to a Shivasa B'Tamuz, so close, the start of the 3 weeks, and then to the Tisha B'Av. And we know that the Beis HaMikdash, which we'll talk more about, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of Sinas Chinam. We lost that relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem's always with us, but we don't have our great Beis HaMikdash. We don't have the Karbonos. I think if we all take upon ourselves, you know, when a situation happens, last week we spoke about anger. So Tom was talking to me. He's like, listen, I just have an anger problem. And I said, I hear. I'm not here to judge you. I learned from my classes. I feel you. But when something doesn't look or doesn't happen the way you want it, count to 10. Take yourself, like the Gedolim had the anger jackets, they would leave the situation. They tell a story of Shlomo Zalman, we'll just end with this story. Shlomo Zalman did something wrong, he was a little bacher, and he did something wrong. And the Rebbe went over to him, was about to smack him, again they used to smack back in the day, and he controlled himself. And then he was about to go again, and he controlled himself again. Around a couple months later, you know, the Rebbe bumped into Shlomo Zalman and said, you know, I was going to smack you, you know, you did something wrong. But I was smacking you out of anger. And I'm not allowed to smack you out of anger. And guess who that little bacher became? I told you already. It was Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. He had the ability to make or break
Baruch Hashem, that Rebbe made him, and he was one of the Gedolei Ador, the Gedolei Shlomo Zalman Orbach, Tzaddik. We have the ability to make. We need to realize that our actions matter. We need to realize that we can't take everything to heart, and we have to be down the kamsachos. We can't just act on our impulses. Let us learn from the Benos Slavchot. Let us learn from the Yosef HaSadiks. Let us realize that the greatest day of Shidduchin, just to end with this, is the day of Tu B'Av, which represents when they stop dying, and they were going to exile, only the women, Kalev and Yeshua and the women, and Chet HaEgel. Why are those the best days? Because a woman turns to the man and says, listen, without me, those 2 days, without me, without a woman, you wouldn't be here. Because you act on your impulses. You could work on it. You could always change anything. But we look to the future. Let us learn from this idea. Let us look to the future. Let us realize that through our Torah, through our mitzvahs, through our gemilas chasadim, what we're going to create, we're going to be in Mashiach. We're not going to have a Tisha B'Av this year. We got to daven for it. We got to believe it. That's Hashem. Everyone should have an amazing Shabbos. Everyone should grow in their Torah, in the Yirei Shamayim. Take things upon themselves, little things. Don't get angry. 10 seconds, one time a day. It's hard. One time a day, when things look crazy, just 10 seconds, count it out. When you see a situation that seems that there's no way this is what it is, realize that it might not be. Everyone should have an amazing Shabbos, an amazing Parshas Pinchas, an amazing Parshas Bullock, and everyone should have an easy fast, a meaningful fast, but let us do a kapara, this idea of just jumping the gun, and let us take a step back and realize the beautiful relation of the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and He loves us, and He cares about us. Everyone have an amazing Shabbos. Bye-bye.